Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Dead End Sports Podcast. This is a weekly sports podcast. We want to thank you for checking us out. I am host 12, Kyle. And of course, I will not be doing this podcast alone. Joining me are my homies. First up the bat, my man, BZ430. BZ, what up, though?
What up, though? What's up? What's going on, fella?
Chilling, man. What's cracking?
I mean, up here watching this good old playoff basketball, man. Spurs and Rockets. Game 5.
No doubt. The pivotal game 5.
Yep.
Also joining us is my homie Ken. Ken, what's up, man?
Chilling like a villain.
So you went 85 on us. If you haven't done so already, make sure that you subscribe to this fine podcast. But let's start with some headlines. Varball is back in news. Lonzo Ball sneaker dropped. Internet reported there were 5,000 sneakers sold. Turns out that sneakers were a little less than that. Somewhere a little bit more than 300 pairs were sold. Let's start right there, B, man. Your take on the Zoe 2s for $4.95.
I'm not a super sneakerhead like that, but I even know that's like too much for some shoes. I get it. He's taking a huge gamble on his sons, you know, hoping that they well, at least Lonzo, that's getting ready to be in the top two, top three draft pick, gets, you know, going to the NBA, makes some noise, and I hope he be successful. Because if he can be the next, you know, up and coming caliber player like a D Wade or LeBron James or a Kevin Durant type of guy, I mean, it will pay dividends. But you know, we still think about it like, dog, this dude has not stepped not one foot, a pinky toe on the NBA court yet. And for his, you know, for him to be just so putting all this stake into his sons, thinking his son's going to be all this. I saw an interview where he did with Skip Bayless, where he was talking like his projected how his sons, how big they're going to get and how much of a problem they're going to be and everything like that. Like, we're not even factoring in injury. We're not even factoring in none of this stuff. Like, all this stuff can happen. I like it. I just think he's just going about it kind of wrong.
Aldridge and Gasol together is my point. Houston leads.
Huh? Oh, my bad.
I was about to say, damn, King, you sound different. But, yeah, like I said, I love the confidence, and I love that if this pans out, he could be setting a mold or starting a trend that we can see in future superstars or whatever. But the big question, the big word is if, you know. The shoe, $4.95, yes, is high as heck. And you know, shout out to a lot of the black athletes that's going out supporting. You know, I'm all for that. If this big baller brand takes off, he would be the last one laughing. But key word, if. So, right. I mean, and it really falls on what Lonzo's going to do coming into the league. Lonzo better be one of the top two top candidate for Rookie of the Year, at least coming into the season, the way that his father is mouthing off about him.
I think he talks too much. I think, you know, when it comes to LeVar Ball, man, like, yeah, we are talking about it, but it's negative. Yeah, it's great that people are supporting him, and I support the idea behind what he's doing. I just think his approach is all wrong. His business approach is all wrong as well. I do think that if a guy like LeBron did something similar, he would sell. But that's LeBron James. And the success of this shoe depends on Lonzo not being good or great. Lonzo being Kobe. Lonzo being LeBron. Lonzo has to be Jordan.
LeVar Ball's, his whole mentality is, you know, what if LeBron or what if Serena or what if Kobe would have had their own brand and the way they turned out? Like, you know, I mean, he's right. Like, yeah, if LeBron would have been like, hey, I got my LBJ brand.
Nobody would have bought them damn shoes, B, you know.
No. You're right. Probably not coming out, but like, look, like now we see what LeBron is now. It's like, damn, like, you know, that would have paid off big dividends. So I think that's what LeVar Ball's mind state is like. Why not just take that gamble? He's all about taking that gamble. And I mean, hell, that's a gamble that we probably, us three guys, wouldn't probably take.
Right.
He's taking that gamble.
I think in saying something like that, I think that's the cover up for the negative press.
Yeah.
And he's trying to spin it in a way to make it look good, because let's be real, man, people only buying the shoes because they want to support that idea. Like, right. like the way he could have done it, signed the deal, 2-3-4 year deal, Lonzo going to be a star, then he break out and do his own thing. But you're banking on Lonzo being that star.
Right.
And if he's that star, then it's easy. And if you believed in him the way he did, he'll have capital to invest in that, because he'll have shoe sales.
What if he's injury? What if he end up being like Derrick Rose? First 4 years, right. Amazing. And then after that, we don't hear from him again because his knees or whatever keep you know, messing up.
Yeah, anything can happen. I mean, this is like, I and the idea of selling the shoe in advance is something that's not foreign. A lot of products do it in order to get the capital to make whatever product it is they're selling. And you also check to see if there's a market, if there's a demand for the product that you're selling out there by doing pre-sales like what he's doing. Because he can't make the shoe now. He needs the money from the sales in order to get somebody to make the shoe. You know, you're going on these shows, which the show's doing it for ratings. You're wearing these suits, so now you're trying to change the approach. But it's not how you look. It's what's coming out your mouth.
I think part of the like you said, Ken, I think part of the appeal is that, one, you know, there's been this, I mean, 4 or 5 months ago, we didn't know who this dude was. We knew who his son was, but we didn't know who he was. Selling the shoe for $495, I think that's ridiculous. But, you know, I applaud the hustle. And like you said, a lot of, you know, celebrity athletes, you know, got behind him and purchased the shoe. And for those of you listening, just understand that the shoes aren't made yet. So if you order the shoe today, you will not receive this shoe until, I think, November. So, you know, it has to be pre-ordered and the shoes have to be made and then they have to be distributed and the whole nine. So, you know, the $495 shoe price and the slides or flip flops, if you will, for $220. And, you know, LeVar Ball's explanation was, you know, it's no different from Gucci or Prada, you know, who sell high end shoes. And he's basically saying, I have a high end sneaker. Now, let's get to the product. Because I'm about a products guy. When you look at the shoe, it's a nice looking shoe. Maybe a lot of people didn't catch it, but it looks to me like the old Kobe shoes. That's what I thought when I saw it. I mean, other than the logo. But I understand what he's trying to do as far as, like, you know, having the brand and the whole nine. I get it. And I understand why he's gone about it this way. I just think that, no, LeBron couldn't have done this, but LeBron was a one-in-a-generation type talent, and we saw that. We saw glimpses of it when he was in high school, but I don't even think LeBron had the idea to do this. So, you know, at the very least, you could commend LeVar Ball for coming up with this concept. That being said, people want to see results first. If, like you said, Ken, if you run this and you, let's say he signs a Nike deal. He signs a Nike deal. He's got a 3-year deal and he balls out of control and he is, you know, one of the best players in the league, so forth and so on. You've built up enough equity in your talent to where people will really flock to your product. It's not the other way around. People aren't going to flock to your product just because of hype. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of sales, you know, I shouldn't say a lot. There was a good amount of sales, I guess, relatively speaking for them, if they did, you know, more than 300 sales in the first week or first day sales. But those numbers are going to taper off. My second issue with this whole thing is, and this is the biggest issue, is who's pushing the product? Normally, the athlete is the one that pushes the product. LeBron James, when he's pushing Sprite, he's in the Sprite commercial. When he's pushing Kia, he's in the Kia commercial. Where's Lonzo?
I'm against hip-hop artists signing with major labels. You guys basically can do it yourselves. You don't need them, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of the equivalent of that. He's going independent. I'm 100% for it. But at the end of the day, what is happening with LaVar Ball right now, and he doesn't see it, but I see it. ESPN, all of these companies are playing him for a fool. They mm-hmm. don't give a damn about his shoes. Maybe Shannon and Skip do because they got good hearts. But I'm telling you, they are using LaVar Ball. They are parading him around because he's a big, loud, black mouth that's out here just saying whatever. And they're making him look like an idiot. And it's also a reflection on us. When I listened to that interview that he did with Dan Le Batard, dog, the whole time they're sitting there doing the interview, they're laughing at him. They're laughing at him. And they think this guy is a joke. And that's what I just wish he would just clean that part up. And I understand that that's what got you here, but to go there to the other level, you got to get rid of all that coonery, man. You got to get rid of all of that foolishness, because these they are not trying to hear it in corporate America. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. we're still in that system, and you still have to partner with people in order to get your product to the masses. And he just needs to cut it out. But right now, LaVar, I know you're not listening to this, but I'm telling you, brother, they are using you in order to get their ratings up, and your ass ain't selling damn shoes.
Nope. And I think you make a great point with the comparison to hip-hop and the rap labels, because at one point in time, and we all came up in hip-hop, at one point in time, it was looked down upon for you to be independent. You know, everybody, you know, when they got a record deal in the 80s and the 90s, everybody was on a major label. If you were an independent label, you know, people kind of look down at you like you suck. You know, so I'm all for, you know, like you said, a hip hop artist that's going independent, or a young entrepreneur trying to get his business or his hustle on. I get it. I understand it. But you have to go about it the right way. And I think you really have to get your foot in the door before you can start making demands. I think the problem was that he didn't get his foot in it. He's standing outside the door and he's making demands from outside. And people are looking out the window like, man, we ain't letting this fool in. Oh yeah, we'll let him in eventually. We'll let him in when we have to. You know, and it's
that's
a comedy
when you open
show.
The door and it has that chain on it, Kyle, and you crack open the door, and you're talking from behind the door.
Yeah, talking from who this? Who's this? Who are you? Who are you? Were you invited here? What's your security code? Yeah, that type of thing. So, and it kind of reminded me of back in the mid '90s when the Little Penny doll blew up, and Little Penny, because Penny Hardaway did not really talk a lot to the media. He really did. I mean, he's cool, but he didn't really talk a lot to the media. The little doll was bigger and was more impactful in selling of Penny's shoes than he was. And so, you know, when you took the, if you said, okay, well, we're going to take the doll away from the commercials. If you got Penny Hardaway just doing commercials, not the same impact. So yeah, man. So that's one thing that was making headlines this week. Also, in the boxing game, big fight this past weekend. I did not get a chance to see the fight, but I heard that Canelo Alvarez put the beat down on Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. I know B is a huge boxing fan. B, did you see the fight?
Yep.
How bad it was?
True. Canelo won every round, like clear. Like it was, and I think I want to say, from what I remember, I think all three judges had him winning every round too.
Damn.
Yeah, it was like 129-108 for the box for the judges. So yeah, Canelo clearly won. I don't know if Chavez Jr. was just there to get a check, but you know, it's almost kind of like, man, this has to be somewhat disgraceful, because we all know that his father was that dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chavez Sr. was that dude. 87-0 before
He had like 100 fights.
Yeah, 87, he went 87-0 before he had his first L, you know. So yeah, his son just seems like he's just like kind of living off that name and just thinking stuff can go his way, and it's like he's not putting in nowhere near the work that his dad put in. And it's just, no, it's kind of a shame, because he started off kind of hot, and I think he just got too comfortable. By the time he got like about 20-0, 21-0, And he's kind of been slacking since then. So I knew Canelo was going to come in this fight. I already had Canelo winning this fight anyway. Canelo is just technically, he's just a more technically, and he can box, and he's a brawler at the same time. And he's a good counterpuncher. So, yeah, that's definitely I had Canelo winning this round. I just didn't think he was going to win every single round because actually Chavez Jr. is a bigger middleweight. They fought at the middleweight, which he's going to be fighting Triple G September 16th.
Okay.
The middleweight, which is that's the one I definitely wouldn't mind paying pay-per-view dollars for it. I really don't. That's the fight I definitely want to see, man. I mean, you know, critics, everyone is saying this is probably going to be the biggest fight since, as far as hype-wise, biggest fight anticipation since Mayweather and Pacquiao. Okay. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to Triple G and Canelo, man. I got Canelo winning it, man. I think it's going to go to distance. I don't think it's going to be a knockout or anything. I just think, you know, Triple G is just straight up. They both play off to their strengths really well. Canelo is a good counterpuncher, so he's going to want Triple G to come straight in, and Triple G is going to come straight in and they're going to try to knock you out, and Canelo going to try to stand. He better not try to withstand that power, but I think Canelo is going to counter him really good. I think this is going to be the As Mayweather, this is going to be the toughest test for Canelo, and I think Triple G, I think this is going to be his first really, really great test. Even though Danny Jacobs, he gave him a bit of a challenge, man. So, and I think if Danny Jacobs can give Triple G a challenge, I think Canelo, a much more technical fighter, a better counterpuncher. I think Canelo's going to win off points.
Okay. So you guys heard it here first. Fight Party B's house.
Yep.
also this past week, making headline news, Always Dreaming won the Kentucky Derby. I actually watched the Derby. Pretty good race, man. Always Dreaming really got out front and smoked the field. So if you watch horse racing, obviously the Preakness is up next, and then the Belmont Stakes, I think that's how it goes. But yeah, Always Dreaming won the 2017 Kentucky Derby. Also, a bit of a sad note, man, making headlines. The Sports Reporters on ESPN, longstanding program that's been on the air nearly 30 years, aired for the final time this past Sunday on May 7th. You know, they broadcast it every Sunday. And I think what happened was they announced, I want to say maybe about 2 months ago, that ESPN would be moving in a different direction, replacing the Sports Reporters would be E360 or E60. I'm sorry, every Sunday. So instead of seeing, you know, some of the usual cast of characters, Mike Lupica, Bill Roden, Bob Ryan, Mitch Albom, just to name a few, we will be seeing E60, which is E60 has been on, I want to say, for the last two or three, probably no, maybe 3 or 4 years, but they've never really had a home or a particular time slot. But obviously, I mean, much love and shout out to the Sports Reporters. Obviously, we would not be here had it not been for programs like the Sports Reporters. I think, you know, personally speaking, I know I gain a lot from watching it. It's something that I watch every Sunday, regardless of whether I'm in church. If I'm in church, I'm recorded. I come back and watch when I get home. Any quick thoughts on the Sports Reporters?
The untimely passing of John Saunders, in my opinion, I think probably played somewhat of a role, because that was his show. Like, that was mm-hmm. him. You know, you think of Sports Reporters, you think of John Saunders, man, and the rest of his, you know, his guys that he was on the panel with, you know, talking. I mean, he had different guests, like you mentioned earlier, Kyle. But yeah, I think, you know, John Saunders, and then with this whole ESPN going a different direction, then you got all the layoffs and just, you know, it was kind of like the writing on the wall. I mean, that was one of the shows I looked forward to watching on Sundays, you know, at 9:30 mm-hmm. Sports Report. I loved it, man. A very, you know, more calm, more intellectual approach of, you know, sports, what's going on in the sports world, man. So that was a show that I actually really enjoyed watching on Sundays, man. So, you know, sad to see it go. You know, hopefully, you know, that's, you got guys like us, you know, you got Dead End Sports, you know what I'm saying?
No question. So,
you know, we keep the torch going, you know what I'm saying?
What about you, Ken?
Yeah, I think, with the amount of noise that's out there nowadays, driving sports conversations, it was always good to have, conversations like that taking place. You know, I think is a clear indication of where we are going in sports media. And I wish that there was room for programs like that more in today's world, but unfortunately it's not. So
yeah, I agree 100%, man. I think it's you got to think that there's room for programs like that, especially at that level, and like you said, very highly intellectual conversations and very, you know, really cool think pieces. I mean, like, you know, most of them weren't, you know, were unbiased, with the exception of Bob Ryan, who's, you know, all Boston all the time. But nonetheless, you know, it was a pleasure to see. And I think I think we all got a chance to see two of the greats, rest in peace to Dick Schaap and John Saunders, who both, you know, carried the torch in that host seat. Probably, you know, for the better part of the almost 30 years that it was on the air. So they would definitely be missed. Moving on to NBA action, man, we're in the second round. Let's get a recap. A couple of things happened since the last time we spoke on last week's podcast. The Utah Jazz, they are going fishing. the Warriors got them up out the paint, and Toronto Raptors. They're going fishing as well. The Cleveland Cavaliers got them out of the paint. So now we've got two series left, you know, with the game still remaining. At the time of this recording, the series is tied 2-2, headed back to Boston for game 5. And as we're currently recording, the Rockets and the Spurs are currently playing game 5. So let's take it to the East with the Wizards and Celtics. Ken, what do you make of that series so far, and how do you see this thing playing out? Because neither one has won on each other's home court. I'm sorry, yeah, the home team has won every game.
I think this one may end up going 7. Isaiah Thomas complained about the referees from game 4. We expect he's going to get a lot of calls in Boston, and while Boston was up 53-50 at one point in game 4, and, you know, they got blitzed by a 26-0 run to end up losing that game, I think Washington will end up winning that series. So I think we'll come back to Boston for game 7 while LeBron is at home chilling. and I still like the Wizards.
What about you, B? How do you see this one when shaping out? What do you think so far with the Wizards and Celtics?
I still got Wizards winning this. I do, just like Ken, I do think it's going to go 7. I love the fact that these dudes can't stand each other. I love it.
Yeah, me too.
I forgot about that.
Man, it just brings out the competitiveness all just so much, man. Like, when them teams can't stand each other, they are out for each other's throats. Every single game, every minute, every quarter, I love it, man. It just reminds me of, like, Indiana and New York Knicks of the 90s, man. Like, them teams just could not stand each other. If John Wall wants to be considered one of the best, you know, not even just in the Eastern Conference, but in the NBA, this is your moment. This is the time where we always say this, legacies are built in the playoffs, man. So this is the time, you know, you can't have Isaiah take your thunder. If Isaiah go out here and ball these next two games and eliminate you guys and John Wall don't show up, we can't have that conversation. You know, like, you can't have that when you're not stepping up on big playoff games. Right now, the momentum is in Washington's favor. If they can just go and sneak a road game, you know, coming back to Washington, would possibly finish it out in 6, you know, and John Wall looks good in these games, hey, you know, we can probably have that conversation. But until then, John Wall got to show and prove for me, man. And you know, it's going to be interesting them playing if they, you know, advance, playing the Eastern Conference Finals against Cleveland. So that'd be, I got Washington in 7.
I, you know, one of the things that intrigues me about this series is, I think if you look at it, Washington really could have swept the series.
Right.
You know, because they went out on these big leads in both game 1 and game 2 and ended up blowing those leads. But I think one of the things that really kind of had me scratching my head, and this has been a common theme, not just in this playoff, but over the last few years, I'm surprised at how bad teams, the road teams, have played. it's mind-boggling, man. And I get it. You know, superstar, the old saying, superstars play well, role players play well at home. You know, your superstars are going to play well wherever they go, but your role players are going to always play well on the, you know, at home as opposed to being on the road. But that being said, I just don't remember, you know, I remember playoff games being very, very competitive and just, you know, your road teams, you know, anybody could go into your arena and get a win. It doesn't necessarily feel like that, at least not in these earlier rounds. These teams seem to be, you know, it looks like overmatched to some degree. That being said, I think I picked the Celtics to win this series. I think the Celtics obviously are going to win in seven. And I'm just interested to see how the role players from the Wizards play in game five and how the role players from the Celtics play in game six, because I think that'll determine whether or not we get a game seven. And then, you know, you get a game seven, you know, it's all up for grabs.
I think Washington's going to pull it out, man. I think I called it in six games before the series. Yeah, six games. Really, Washington should be a 3-1 right now. That's really where they should be. But it is what it is. I still think that the best player, even though Isaiah Thomas is out here balling, scoring 53 points, has not been done. I think I was watching Colin, and he has a dude on there. Man, you know I'm bad with names. I need to get better with names. But he had a dude on there, and he showed, like, a list of top 10, like, all-time greats that never scored 50 points in a playoff game. Isaiah Thomas scored 3. So, you know, he's out here balling. He's proving himself. But I still got the Wizards in 6, man. I still think John Wall is too unstoppable right now. And I don't think Boston has the – I don't think they could do anything with him.
Ken, give us your thoughts on the Western Conference.
I'm torn. I'm still torn. I was talking to B-Man, and I think I did overreact to the big win by the Rockets in game one.
Of course you did. I'm the only one to pick the Spurs.
I still – seeing the Rockets – you know, seeing the Spurs win 2 in a row – it looked like they had figured it out, and D'Antoni's teams, for whatever reason, he just can't beat Pop. It seemed like that narrative, that storyline was going to play out again. But they came back, they won game four, obviously, and here we are in game five. And right now it's 86-85. The Rockets are battling. And I got to give them a lot of credit, man, because – Pop is a hell of a coach, and the one adjustment he did to keep Harden off the free throw line was just fantastic, man. I haven't seen anybody do that yet. And basically, you just keep your hands to your side, yep, and he can't do that sweep through move. But this is going to be a battle. This is going to go 7, I want to say, and because the Spurs can win on the road. They can win anywhere. I'm really impressed by the Spurs. They lost Tony Parker, but it's like they're not missing a beat, dog. And the way they play with the level of professionalism, with the level of execution, it's just a joy to watch. You know, they're not running around jacking up a lot of threes and doing this, that, and the other. They play great, great basketball. And because of that, they're able to, you know, overcome Herculean efforts by James Harden and hot three-point shooting by the Rockets. And what we've seen is that the Rockets, in the second game, I want to say, it just seemed like second and third game, I want to say, I think they were just, it just showed that three-pointer can be the depth of you. And in game four and in this game, I think they're kind of evenly matched when it comes to the threes, but they're finding other ways to score. Losing Nene is going to be big, not just for this series, but I think for the next series, because his inside scoring is huge. I still got the Rockets winning this series, even though I really, really want the Spurs to win. I would be happy if the Spurs win, because I'm tired of people burying the Spurs and talking crap about the Spurs. I would prefer to be wrong on this just to see the Spurs advance so Colin can eat his words and everybody can eat their words trying to put them boys down. But again, Pop is not overrated. The Spurs are not done. You know, then and I think we all just
he said Pop was overrated.
No, he said he's not overrated.
No.
Colin said, did. Yes.
Yeah, he said.
Man. Oh, he said that.
He said Pop is not overrated. Yes, he did. Colin said Pop is overrated.
Yeah, he said Pop was overrated.
He said that, what, did he say why? How?
He said Pop is overrated. He said he thinks it was more Tim Duncan than Pop, and that's why they got 5 rings. And what else? He said that he's stubborn and failed to adapt to the league. Now, keep in mind,
Pop
was the first
one
to do was the first one to shoot threes all over the place. They won a championship that way, and he's always adapted. He went from David Robinson being the guy to Tim Duncan being the guy to Manu and Tony Parker being the guy to Kawhi Leonard. He's always adjusted in ways that he needed right. to adjust without sacrificing the integrity of what they do as a team. And and it's just like, what are you talking about?
Right. This guy, like, he's clearly like the Bill Belichick of NBA. Like,
not to call
him. If you criticize him, well, you might criticize the Patriots then.
Pop doesn't cheat.
Well, yeah. What you about to say?
Crazy thing was that Colin was giving Belichick more props than Pop, and that's crazy to me.
Yep,
that's crazy.
Like I said, if he says that about Pop, I wonder what he says about Phil Jackson, because Greg Popovich will go down as one of the greatest NBA coaches ever. Period. Point blank. And I don't think that's. You could make a case for other than rings. You could make a case for just coaching and X and O's. I mean, he's right there with Phil, you know, other than rings.
But I'm loving Kawhi Leonard, man. And I think there's still another Kawhi Leonard game. What's up, FIFA?
I was going to say, you know what's going to extend Kawhi and add another, like, player development to like an ascending superstar? Because Tony Parker in his prime was, like, borderline superstar. Obviously, Tim Duncan was. You have Manu. The next guy after Kawhi, DeJounte Murray. Yo, yes. This guy, I'm telling you, because Pop played him early in the season, and he was getting buckets. You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, you know, obviously you want to get into playoff mode. You know, you want to hunker down. But now he's going to get his opportunity, and it's going to be in the playoffs. You know what I say about young players playing in the playoffs? It expedites their progression. That's why Kawhi Leonard every single year has been able to get better. This guy, DeJounte Murray, he's going to be their next all-star, man. Real talk, homegrown.
I like him a lot, man. I've seen him play throughout the year. Remember, I would comment throughout the year that, like, Pop was out there winning games with D-leaguers, man, and guys we've never heard of. And he did that throughout the whole year. And there's another guy. I'm waiting to see how he developed. Kyle Anderson. And I don't know if he's going to be something or not. But he seems like he's a Pop guy.
He is, but you know what he is? He's Boris Diaw. Like, that's his ceiling. He's not going to be better than that. You know what I'm saying? He's going to fill the stat sheet but not stuff him, you know, across the board. He's going to be nice. He's going to be one of those glue guys, one of those rotational, you know what I'm saying? You know what you're going to get. He's going to play hard on defense, but I don't think he's ever going to be a star in this league.
And that other guy he has, Bertans, isn't he a rookie? I think he's a rookie.
Who?
I think he's from overseas. I may have gotten his last name wrong.
Yeah, I think it has to go 7 because I think James Harden has to still prove himself in the playoffs. He got to get to these Western Conference Finals. He want to call himself the MVP. And he has this squad, and he's done what he's done in the regular season. Don't be Peyton Manning. So I see him balling. I see him still doing what he's doing. I see 7 games, man. Pop is that good. Kawhi is that guy. Like, you know, I know I kind of downplayed him at the beginning, like a lot of people did, but he's that guy. He is definitely that guy. And, you know, it's the system. They got a system. Next man up, and I see 7. But I'm still sticking with the Rockets because of the firepower. But Ryan Anderson has, what is that, a messed up wrist on his shooting arm. On his shooting hand. So I think that's changed a lot in the series. But I still got Houston, man. I still think they got too many weapons.
And the guy I'm talking about, Ralph, is his name is Davis Bertans, Bertans. He looks like a white Blake Griffin.
I originally was thinking off the first game, I was overreacting a little bit. I was thinking Rockets in five, but I think I give it Rockets in six. I think it's just going. I can see them still in this game, and then Spurs winning at Houston next game, and then they coming back here for seven. So I got Rockets in seven.
Yeah, I think I said Spurs in seven. I'm gonna stick with Spurs in seven. Like I said, this has been a very intriguing just game. Not just the games, but like I said, back and forth, seeing the role players and how they played on the road and at home. That's what's really been mind boggling to me. You even see a night like tonight where a guy like Manu Ginobili is playing really well in game five. And just the ebb and the flow of how guys play well in one game at home. And then, you know, on the road, you don't see them. So it's just, I'm interested to see how this plays out, but this is a very intriguing series. Moving on, as I mentioned at the top, man, LeBron James and the Cavs got the Raptors about the paint. LeBron made some headlines over the week by stating, I guess, I don't even know if he was asked, but LeBron said, and I quote, "I have nothing, as far as basketball goes, I have nothing left to prove." And that had some people scratching their head. So, you know, when you couple that with the fact this past summer, he said, quote, "I'm chasing the ghost of Jordan." The question I have, and I'll throw it out to you, FIFO, what, if anything, does LeBron have left to prove?
He's always going to chase the ghost of Jordan because, at worst, he's number two. At worst. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's be honest. Let's put it all on the table. Everything Bron has done, he's the second best player to play this game. So he's always going to be chasing the ghost of Jordan. But what else does he have to prove to us? You know what I'm saying? This guy's won three rings. Multiple superstars, Hall of Famers haven't won one. And if they did, it's probably just one or two. He's won multiple rings. He, one of the few players that should get his jersey retired in two different arenas. Like, this guy, what else does he have to do? He came back 3-1. He's done the impossible. And he had the most scrutiny, the biggest microscope, $100 million shoe deal coming out of high school. Like, come on. He has fulfilled his destiny. He's done it. There's nothing else for him to prove his greatness. But he's still going to push forward to add to that mantle, to just further cement it. I hate when people take this stuff out of context, and it makes it seem like there's nothing else for LeBron to do. Like his fire doesn't burn as hard. Come on, man. This guy's one of the great. He wants to win. He's going to do whatever it takes to win, man. So to me, I think he's just talking to all of the haters. Bruh, if by now you don't see everything I've done and you don't give me my respect, then it is what it is. But I'm cemented. And he's still going to go get more, man. He's still going to make finals. Who's going to dethrone him in the East? Nobody, man. Like, come on. So he don't have nothing else to prove to me. He's at least second greatest all time.
No doubt. What about you, B? What, if anything, does LeBron have to prove?
I said this, I think, when I saw it on the Dead End Sports account. I was just like, when, you know, LeBron says he has nothing to prove. And I was like, well, based on what he said, he still does if he's chasing the ghost of Chicago. I found it a little contradiction, a little bit, the way, you know, when I saw that. I'm like, well, you just said you was chasing Jordan, and if you are, then no, you have nothing else to prove. You still have more to prove. I mean, you know, not saying he has to win, you know, six or seven championships, you know, but yeah, I think you see, I mean, because to me, his game hasn't even showed signs of slowing down yet. I still think the level of LeBron we're seeing, I think he can still play about three or four more seasons at this level, you know, before, unless he suffers a major injury, which he hasn't yet. But I still see LeBron going 3 years of this before we even start seeing him declining. And no telling what he might accomplish within the next 3 to 4 seasons. You know, it might be some more finals, might be another championship or two. So, you know, it'd be interesting. I think for starters, if he beat this Golden State squad with Kevin Durant, I mean, that's And if he wins next year, that'd be a three-peat. Like, you know, I mean, hell, that'd be right. That'd be a good conversation right there for is he the best ever, you know, and for that conversation as the best ever. So, yeah, he still got more to prove, man. Yeah, if he was to retire right now after this season, I mean, yeah, he would be, you know, people would list him top five. You know, he'd be in one, probably in that, in certain lists. Mount Rushmore is a basketball. Some people probably wouldn't still. But, you know, he'd definitely be, you know, top five, top ten greatest players of ever. Like, ever. So.
No, he doesn't. If he feels like he doesn't. And I normally hate saying stuff that way. But the reason why I'm saying it this way is because at some point you have to control your own story. And how you will be remembered. And I think that's what LeBron is doing. I think LeBron may have sat back one day and looked at his resume, looked back on his career, reflected, and been like, you know what? Man, I'm good. I'm good. I came back from a 3-1 deficit in the finals versus a 73-9 team. Like, what else is there left? Because if you really think about it, B, to your point of him playing more seasons more than likely will equal more finals, could more than likely equal more finals losses. And the more that happens, the wider the gap to a lot of people will become between him and Jordan. I think when LeBron said he was chasing the ghost of Jordan, he was still on that high of winning last year. Mm. But I think now Chris Broussard said this, he looks very relaxed. What I also find interesting is that we don't even talk about Kobe anymore. think about that for a minute. It was all about Kobe. Kobe was the second best player in the NBA behind Jordan. That is gone. That is gone. It's now LeBron and Michael Jordan. Kobe is an afterthought to some people.
Why do you think that is, Ken?
I think that...
Is it because Kobe's gone from the game or just...
No, it's simple. Kobe never dominated like LeBron dominated. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. I've been saying it. Get Rod on the phone.
But nobody's pointing that out, man. I want y'all to know. Hey, yo, y'all heard it here first. We're talking about LeBron now.
To be honest, that's exactly where I was going. That's why I started laughing.
Jordan was great. Jordan didn't run the league the way LeBron runs the league. LeBron James runs the NBA, hands down. He has
I disagree with that, Ken. Jordan ran the league. In fact, Jordan had the league scared of him.
No, I'm talking about in terms of just overall, right? Jordan ran the league in terms of competitiveness, wanting to win. I'm going to win championships. LeBron runs the league in terms of business, getting players on top of their game. The thing, like, if listen to that Dwayne Wade interview he did with Woj, the way they do contracts now and the way players sign contracts,
right, okay,
all of this stuff was started by LeBron James. And Woj was like, yeah, he made a comment about it going back to the way it was, where players just took the long-term deal and security. And Wade was like, I hope not. Now the players are in control. That was LeBron James. And so that's what I'm talking about. He runs the NBA, dog. Like, and it's crazy. That's why whenever something happens, you know, people point the finger at him, even though he may not even be involved. The resting thing, they blame LeBron when it was Pop that started it. He's right there, man. And I'm like on the cusp of calling him that because, I mean, people talk about him quitting. MJ was a quitter. He quit on his team for 2 years.
No, he retired, Ken.
No, he quit. MJ quit.
Now, depending on who you ask, some people said he was forced out of the NBA because of this hidden agenda, but that's another story for another day.
He quit. He doesn't have to be the greatest of all time, but I definitely think that he has nothing left to prove, man. He's done it all, like, except go undefeated in the finals.
He doesn't have anything to prove. Nothing. I mean, if he got hit by a bus tomorrow, if he got caught up in a dogfighting scheme and got kicked out of the league tomorrow, he's good. He is. And I think one of the things that has really impressed me about LeBron is that he's never said, I mean, other than the comment of chasing Jordan, he rarely mentions Jordan. He says, I want to be recognized as the best. And I think by far he's the best of his generation. And that includes Kobe. And that's my opinion. You got it. You know, if you disagree, hit me up on Twitter at 12 Kyle. But I think he's the best of his generation. I think he's the best that we've seen in a very, very long time. He's not the next Jordan. His version is the version of LeBron. And I think what you have to understand is that his story is still being written. So I stopped comparing him to Jordan or any of the all-time greats because he still has chapters. The book isn't closed yet. And like B said, we really have – it's safe to say that LeBron is in his prime. Some may say he's on the downside of his prime, but even if – because LeBron is not maybe the defender that he was 2 or 3 years ago. But nonetheless, offensively, I mean, and we've seen him in this playoffs shooting lights out, especially from three. But I think even if you say he's on the downside of his prime, that downside is a whole lot better than everybody else's upside. So I think we could see LeBron dominate at this level, you know, for another 3 years, 3 or 4 years or so. But he's good. He's solidified. If it all ended tomorrow, he's a Hall of Famer, obviously. He's solidified. He's, you know, depending on who you ask, top five, maybe top three players of all time, depending on who you ask. Because there's some people that just don't like LeBron. We've talked about this ad nauseum, and that has nothing to do with his basketball acumen and what he's done on the court. Does he have anything to prove? No. Even the whole Chase and Jordan thing, I think you make a great point. I think he was, you know, high off the win of last year, and that's when he said that. You know, and NBA players will tell you the regular season is a grind. They yearn to get to this point of the season. And I think there's something, and we were all, I don't want to say we, because we really weren't critical of LeBron taking rest. But I think there's something, and here's something that I think is not being said enough. LeBron getting some of the rest that he got, particularly on the back end of the season. And then now you're talking about, you know, you're not playing every night and, you know, it's every other day or so. I think that's reflective in his game. And I think that's one of the reasons why he has played. I mean, he's averaged, 36? You know, this past series, he averaged, I think, 36-8 or something like that. I mean, like, it's crazy. And I think that's only going to increase. I mean, and they're looking at having, a week and a couple of days between now and the start of the conference finals. That's even more rest for him. Does he have anything to prove? Nope, not even close.
Yeah, I mean, I know people are going to do it, but I'm just sick of all of the – comparing this person. Is he better than this person? Is he better? Like, let's just enjoy all the greatness.
Yeah, it's not like we can get in a time machine and take LeBron back to 1992.
Right. That's so. What I enjoy Magic's greatness. I enjoy Bird's. I enjoy Zeke's. I enjoy, you know, everyone's greatness for the time that it was. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just enjoy it, man. Like, I'm sick of the always comparing them or trying to, you know, comparing this person.
I don't think we do any justice to any of these players by doing it like that.
Right.
Moving on, we got some your man Draymond Green is in the headlines again. He made some headlines. Draymond Green on his podcast, Dre Day, which actually is a pretty good podcast. If you listen to podcasts, Draymond, and I subscribe to his podcast is pretty good. So if you get a chance after you listen to our podcast, obviously, check out his podcast. It's pretty good. Now, other than Draymond breaking down Kendrick and Drake, Draymond, if you're listening to this podcast, please stick to sports. Your music knowledge is terrible.
yeah, that was pretty bad.
Okay. So you heard it. I mean, don't talk about Kendrick and Drake. Nonetheless, man, he had the audacity to call Kelly Olynyk from the Boston Celtics a dirty player.
Oh my God! I'm sorry.
So B, I'll start right there with you, man. Who do you think is the dirtiest player in the NBA right now? And of the basketball that you've seen, who is the dirtiest player of all time?
Dirtiest player of all time.
And who do you think is the dirtiest right now?
I mean, is it? Do we even still have dirty players right now in today's league?
Yeah, we do.
Is anyone that's dirty? Maybe I'm comparing it wrong because I'm thinking of like someone who was dirty now that was dirty compared to players in the 80s and early 90s. That's what I'm thinking. Like, I can't even think of no one. I mean, is Draymond? I don't know. I don't even know who's. I'm trying to think. I've never watched a game where I'm like, man, that dude's dirty. I mean, the first player I thought of recently, well, he's retired now, was possibly Bruce Bowen. Other than that, man, I mean, I can't really think of nobody like really now where I'm like, where I'm watching him and I'm like, oh man, that's a dirty ass play. Like that was dirty. I mean, maybe Draymond off of his kicking in the groins, but you know, it's not consistent enough for me. Like if I'm gonna consider you dirty, damn it, every time I'm watching you on the court, you're doing something where I'm like, dude, maybe Patrick Beverly, but he just plays with like a little. He's just that like that aggravating dude that's just always guarding you. But I don't really consider him dirty. I don't know. Ken, you got somebody? You sound like you got somebody. I can't think of no one that's
dirty. Well, we know Bill Laimbeer was one and Dennis Rodman.
But he was saying of all time, so I started thinking back then. But yeah, I mean, Rick Mahorn, damn near almost some of the bad boy players.
Dennis Rodman.
Mm-hmm. God, I'm drawing a blank because it's so much basketball I've watched in my lifetime. It's not just the bad boys. I mean, NBA was physical as hell in the 80s and 90s, so it's not just them. I don't know, man. I really don't know.
What about you, Ken? You got any dirty players from right now or all time?
Right now, I think it's Kelly Olynyk, you know, and only because like I was on the fence about what he did 2 years ago with Kevin Love, and what turned me was there was a play where he was holding, and you guys may have seen it, he was holding Robin Lopez's arm the same exact way. And at that point, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This dude is doing this intentionally. Like, that wasn't a basketball move. And a lot of players, if I recall from 2 years ago, were saying that it wasn't a basketball move then. Because, I mean, you remember the play. The play was over. He's just grabbing and running with the guy's arm, down the court. So, I think Kelly Olynyk is there. And I think that's exactly why Oubre ran up on him like that.
And I hate to cut into it, but as I mentioned at the top, we're watching the Spurs and the Rockets play, and the game has gone to overtime. And I'm just noticing that Kawhi Leonard is on the bench. He twisted his ankle early in the game. If Kawhi Leonard is hurt,
Spurs can forget about it.
Spurs can forget about it. But I'm sorry, Ken. FIFA, what about you, man? You got any dirty players right now and all time? Right now, man, I probably say Draymond. That's why I found the comments to be comical when I heard it on the podcast. I'm like, Draymond, come on, man. I mean, we just saw you kick a man in the nuts last year.
Last year was really like the microscope of Draymond with the kicking thing. But like,
you know what it is, B? I think for me, and you guys know because you guys play basketball, Draymond seems to me like the kind of guy that you want on your team, but you don't want to play against him. You know what I mean? That kind of guy.
I don't know, man. He don't strike me as a dirty player.
And I like Draymond. I like Draymond. I like his podcast. I think he's a pretty interesting dude. But in me saying Draymond is probably the dirtiest player, it goes back to what you said, B. We really don't have dirty players like we did.
Right. Like who's the Vernon Maxwell of this league right now? Ooh. You know what I'm saying? Like
But Vernon wasn't dirty though.
Hey, Vernon would bust your ass off.
I mean, yeah, yeah, okay, you're right. So, you're right, Kyle. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, when I think of my all-time dirty players, it's got to be like everybody on like the 88 Pistons except Joe Dumars. So that's those are like my dirtiest players. Whole Pistons squad except Joe D.
Charles Oakley.
You think Oakley and dirty?
Anthony Mason?
Hell yeah!
And Mason kind of
dirty. What? All the Knicks was dirty.
God bless the dead. Mason was kind of dirty.
Yeah, the Knicks. That Knicks. That, they were grimy, dog. Yeah.
And you remember Harper,
the no John layup. Starks? I was telling my son the other day about the no layup rule that the Knicks implied, and what they mean by that is just that. No, in the playoffs, they gave up no layups. If you were in the lane, you're getting fouled. Hard foul, get to the line, shoot your two.
I heard like some NBA players or somewhere, I heard a lot of people say Bruce Bowen was dirty. And I don't remember like that.
Well, you know what it is? Bruce was really, he was a defender, and he was really
whenever
aggressive.
Whenever you run at somebody with your feet as a drop kick, you're dirty. Yo, this dude literally kicked Wally Zerbeck in the face on purpose, dog. Why would you jump? Try to block a shot. You normally jump with your hands up, right? You jump with your foot forward. Come on now.
Hey, Kent, I'll put it like this. There's been many of people who have landed on Bruce Bowen's size 14 foot and rolled their ankles. Now, he would tell you that it wasn't on purpose, but I don't know about that.
What about KG? KG was pretty dirty.
Yeah, I think he got a reputation for being dirty. I think verbally
more so, he would say some stuff that would, like, you know, get under some guy's skin, like, really bad. Mm-hmm. Like, when he called Charlie Villanueva a cancer patient or something like that. Like, he called him.
But the craziest was what he told Carmelo.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So he was verbally dirty. He was verbally dirty. He wasn't like physically.
But he was physically dirty too, though. Like, you know what I'm saying? He was very physical. Yeah, he used it as an advantage.
I wouldn't say dirty though. Like verbally, hell yeah, he was dirty as hell.
What about Matt Barnes?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Dirty?
A thug.
But was he dirty though? Because now you say he's a thug. Vernon Maxwell was a thug, but I mean, Vernon Maxwell.
He's a little bit of both. I think he's a little bit of both.
Derek Fisher's dirty Mac, but that's another story for another day.
I mean, we gotta say Delly.
Oh,
I don't think he is, but
your guy Delly almost broke Kyle Korver's ankle. Yeah, so it's some dirty plays, but like B said, man, in 2017, dirty players really aren't what they were in, you know, 1997 or 87 or something like that. Speaking of Kevin Garnett, man, as we wrap up the podcast, the Kevin Garnett, as many of you know, has a show on TNT called Area 21. Where he's just, you know, kind of lounging. He's on there, he's kicking it, whatever. Kevin Garnett last night's broadcast had a chance to bring on some of his former teammates from the 2008 Celtics team. That's the team, if you remember, won the championship, first and only championship for Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. So on his show, he brought in members of the Celtics team, Paul Pierce, Rajon Rondo, Glenn, Big Baby Davis, and Kendrick Perkins. They all sat around and they were talking. And then the conversation came to a former teammate who was not there. In fact, this former teammate was not invited. It was Ray Allen. As many of you know, Ray Allen left the Celtics and went on to win another ring with LeBron and the Miami Heat. Was a very instrumental catalyst in them beating the Spurs for that ring. At that particular time that he went to the Heat, they were one of the biggest rivals, probably the biggest rival of the Celtics. Subsequently, Ray leaving that Celtics team, the Celtics lost in the first round and didn't do much after that. So, and so subsequently, you know, all of these guys ended up leaving the Celtics for one reason or another. So let's start right there, man. They decided to publicly air their grievances about Ray Allen. I don't have the clip here, but I mean, I'm sure most of you by now have heard the clip of KG, his thoughts on a Big Baby. Everybody weighed in on it with the exception of Rondo. But the fact that they brought this out publicly, Ken, what's your thought on that?
Petty old men sitting around talking about, you know, a guy that they have beef with, man, that they should just be men,
right?
And call him up, dog. Up, dog.
Yeah.
You know, that's my thing. Yeah, and it felt weird, like hearing Kendrick Perkins, of all people, say it's up to Ray Allen to have to reach out to make things good when you got everybody speaking publicly about, you know, him not being invited. You know, Rondo saying this, that, and the other. Like, it's like, come on, man. Like, y'all played together. You guys won a championship together. He was an integral part of that. And you guys know what went down. You guys are making it seem like it was all Ray Allen. And we remember that time. You guys constantly had him on the trading block. You knew that he and Rondo didn't get along together because Rondo was ready to become the man and was very temperamental. So it's unfortunate, man. We, like, that was one of the best years of the NBA, one of the best times of the NBA when the three of them were playing together. It was the big three plus Rondo. The
original big three.
It was, and like I said, plus Rondo, right? So it was Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett. And that was it. So I hope they reach out to each other, man, and talk this thing through and make amends, because we don't need this to continue to go any further, man. Celebrate that moment and enjoy it as time goes on, man, because it's going to be one of those moments in NBA history that we'll all remember.
What about you, FIFO? What's your take on how they handle that?
I'm in complete agreement with Ken, man. That moment, you can't separate that. That's something that you're going to go down with. And at the time, he was your brother. And that's what you should be celebrating. And we know as basketball players, you're businessmen. And that was a business decision. At the end of the day, you know, if maybe if things would have worked out better, he would have stayed. But shit, who's going to turn down LeBron James and Miami? Like, that's hard. That's pretty hard to turn down, and you know, the opportunity to win a chip. So me, from a basketball player perspective, I get it, but I feel like those Celtics guys just need to get over it, and they're the ones that really need to reach out.
Yeah,
it's not on Ray Allen, it's on y'all. It's a group of y'all. It was just Ray. So I don't know, man. I think they're kind of, I don't want to call them what I really want to call them, but you know, it is what it is. I ain't gonna do that.
B, what about you, man? What was your take on it?
Yeah, man, I agree, man. Just looking, just like some, acting like some high school girls. It just, man, just be some, like Ken said, man, be some grown man and handle the damn situation. This looks bad, man. Y'all at this age and at this point is still like kind of holding grudges. I mean, after the whole beef and spin out we saw with Kobe and Shaq, and you know, at the end of the day, they're older now. They put away their differences. They know that those two dudes made history at LA, you know, as Lakers. You know they can go down as probably one of the, you know, top three best duels ever in NBA. And they appreciate that and they know that. Same thing with this, man. Those guys came together, you know, kind of at the end of their prime, little, you know, past heading on the decline of their prime. They came together as a team, made a special run, you know, went to the NBA Finals two times, got them a ship, the only championship that Kevin Garnett got. All of them got, well, with the exception of Ray Allen. But, yeah, Rondo, all of them got championships. They all did it together. Just, you know, celebrated together, man. Jesus Christ. Just holding on to that grudge and just looking bitter like that, man. It's not a good look for grown men. You know what right. I'm saying? Like, for grown men looking like this, man. Like, stop it. Like, just get someone on the phone. Y'all talk it out and hash it up, man. Just, you know, don't be holding on to grudges forever. It's going to really look awful if these dudes like 50 some years old and they still not talking to Ray Allen. It's like, come on, man. Really? Like, really? All because he just wanted to leave as a free agent. I mean, from what I remember, it looked like they was kind of going with Jason Terry as they two guards. So Ray Allen
and Avery Bradley,
Ray Allen felt some type of way. He waited to free agency, which you supposed to do the right thing, and he left. You know, so I don't know, man. It just looks really bitter and stale to me. I don't like it. Looks corny. It looks very corny.
I'm gonna keep it a buck, man. They look like a bunch of bitches, and I don't use
you
that word.
You said,
"Hey, people, I know you wanted to say it. I'm gonna say it for you." And I don't use that word a lot, but that's what they look like, man. And you know what, man? The more I watched it, the more I was disappointed in it. It looked real corny. I mean, like, you guys are five grown men on national TV. And you got, okay, if you got a grievance with him, you got beef with him, okay, cool. But if you got a problem, if what a man does is, if you have a problem with another man, you take it to that man.
Right.
Talk to him face to face. You don't bring me up. You don't go on national TV to air your grievances, air your dirty laundry. And, you know, they made a comment, well, yeah, we won championships together. We won games together. We spent time in each other's lives. So that sounds to me like it means something. So if it means something, you're demeaning it by taking this on national TV when this could have been something that y'all had or talked about behind closed doors or on the phone. You know, and I agree with B. Ray Allen shouldn't have to make the first move. Kendrick Perkins like, yeah, he should call us and, you know, we're here if we want to make the first move. Y'all already made the first move by bringing this on national TV. I mean, I was disappointed, man. I'm like, is this the NBA or is this Real Housewives of Atlanta? Because that's what it looked like. That's exactly what it looked like. The only thing was missing was NeNe. So, yeah, I'm not feeling that, man. I'm very disappointed in how they handled it. I'll be honest, I lost a lot of respect for all those guys because I think that's something as men we don't do. If you got a problem, and if you're listening to this podcast, if you got a problem with another man, talk to that man. You know, don't try to subtweet him on Twitter or, you know, be passive aggressive on Instagram. Talk to him. I mean, that's what men do. We don't take it to the radio and air out our beefs or TV or stuff like that. It's just corny. And that's exactly how all of them look, real corny. And Ray Allen, you know, he's at home chilling. So y'all get it together. This is the closing of our podcast. It's time for our closing thoughts. First up the bat, my man FIFO. FIFO, what you got for your closing thought?
LaVar Ball. I know we touched on it, and I defended it at first. But listening to his reasons as to why he priced this at what he priced this, man,
you a shoe guy. You a shoe guy, FIFO.
Yeah, you a shoe guy. Hey,
man, this guy is crazy. This guy is crazy. But you know what, though? If Trump can be president, LaVar Ball can make $1 billion selling $400 shoes, man. I'm just astonished. It's kind of crazy. And the flip-flops for 200.
220.
The flip-flops? Oh, man. Yo. I'm sorry. I don't even know what else to say, man. This is America, people. This is America.
Wow.
Yeah, I just beat the two.
Ken, what you got?
Matt Harvey. Matt Harvey folks was suspended for 3 games because he was out partying a little too much. And it's like all kind of stuff is starting to leak out now. Apparently he's not well liked by his teammates, this, that, and the other, man. So, yeah, dog, like, look, man, you're supposed to be the Mets ace, and you have to be and act more responsible than what you are. Like, if you're supposed to pitch the next day and like you were, which was on a Sunday, you can't be coming into the crib at 4 a.m. in the morning and trying to call out. You have 4 other days that you're off. You pitch every 5th day. And you want to go out the night before you're scheduled to pitch? Man, you need to get yourself together. So yeah, man, that's just not a good look, man. Not a good look at all. So, Matt Harvey, it was all good just a week ago, and please do better.
No doubt. What about you, B? What you got for your final thought?
Final thought is, I haven't done the research, and I need to do this research, but I would like to know, have there ever been 2 teams of the Eastern and Western Conference swept their way into the finals and going into the finals undefeated?
No, that's never happened.
If not, I would like to see that happen. I don't think it would happen, but I would like to see that happen now that we have Cavs and Golden State still 8-0 right now in the playoffs. I would like to see them be 12-0 going into the NBA Finals. I think that would be pretty awesome. I think that would be good. I like seeing history-making stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like last year, Cleveland coming back from the Warriors, first team in the NBA Finals history to come back down 3-1. I thought that was, you know, it was cool, historic to see that. And they did it to a team that won 73 games in that same season. So, yeah. It's just a little pet peeve. Not pet peeve, but, like, just something personal I would like to see happen in this year's playoffs, as we have 2 of the teams who we're assuming already that's going to be in the finals anyway. Hey, why not just have them both be undefeated, 12-0? You know, going into the NBA Finals. But, yeah, that's about it. That's my final thought. Make it happen, Golden State and Cleveland.
Speaking of the playoffs, did we forget that San Antonio had the second best record in the NBA in the Western Conference?
No, we didn't forget. You know, San Antonio's always being the back burner, man.
But keep in mind, there's only one person on this podcast that picks San Antonio.
I know, Cal, and I'm sitting here thinking about it. I'm like, and I just saw, like, for those of you listening,
they won, like, 60-plus games.
Yeah, and I don't know what I was thinking. I apologize, but James Harden just got outclosed by Danny Green.
Danny Green and Ginobili, yeah.
Like, dog, what the hell? He's bad shots, poor turnovers, not taking the big shot.
What if Houston lose this series? What are we going to say about James Harden when it comes to postseason?
Everything we need to say about him. And they didn't have Kawhi in this game. And they lost this game when Kawhi set out.
Yeah, lost the game in overtime. So for those of you listening, San Antonio goes up 3-2.
If Rockets lose this series, you know, are we going to pin James Harden as that regular season player? And you know what I'm saying?
Peyton Manning.
That's what you're saying?
It always come back to Manning.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, we got to start having these conversations if James Harden not showing up in the postseason.
I'm sure he'll show up in Houston. At least I hope he shows up in Houston.
No, not. This is over.
my final thought, man, to quote the great coach Herm Edwards, think before you press in. I would like to send this message to my man, Kristaps Porzingis, a.k.a. KP. This past Saturday night, man, Kristaps Porzingis, all-world power forward, center, whatever position you want to call him, for the New York Knicks, sent out a tweet, or there was a tweet that came from his Twitter account, his verified Twitter account. It has a little blue check, and it says LA Clippers and 3 happy faces. Now, he followed up, I guess, maybe a couple hours later by saying, quote, I was hacked last night and a post was made from my account. I've alerted Twitter and they're looking into the incident. Come on, bro. You wasn't hacked. You sent that tweet. I mean, you know what, man? I try to think of like what he could have been doing to have sent that tweet. And it came down to one thing. He was drinking. When you're drinking, you know, put your phone down because you're going to send a text. You're going to send a DM. You're going to send something that you ain't got no business saying. So Kristaps Porzingis, nah, man, you sent that tweet. Nobody hacked. And I always find it funny how people say that their accounts get hacked and then like they still keep the account. Like they don't change the account or change the password or anything. Just keep it real with us, man. Just say you were joking or something. I don't know what you're going to say, but you put that on there, man. You sent that. You know damn well you sent that tweet. Nobody hacked your account. Nobody did anything but you. So like I said, man, think before you press send. To quote Jay-Z, we don't believe you. You need more people. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do for us. Again, thank you for listening to another edition of the Dead End Sports Podcast. For FIFO, for BZ, Ken, I'm your man 12 Kyle. We'll catch you guys next week. Peace.
Peace.
Peace.